Coming to you live from the Hall of Truth, it's the Nate Darling Show.
Fire a warning shot across her nose.
With Jason Casey and Kareem Daniels. And now, relax, good citizen.
Nothing! You've got nothing!
Here's Nate.
Here I am. Back with a Friday episode of the Nate Darling Show, show number 655. Welcome to the month of March.
Yeah, get it in.
Coming in like an angry, angry red-ass lion.
Wow.
Actually, though, I think the weather cleared today.
It's like April showers bring me. Oh no, yeah, you're right. March lion, you're right. Yeah.
In like a lamb, out like a lion, or vice versa.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I don't know. It's a lot of shit going on,
It's stuff going on.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
All the time.
Oh yeah. Hey, if you're listening to the show because you saw Walt Gray name check us on Facebook back on Monday. Hey, thanks. Welcome in.
Welcome.
You know, I should have mentioned this on the Wednesday show, but I completely forgot. On NateDarlingShow.com, we've got a couple of shopping tabs. One's a Shop Amazon tab. The other one is a Shop Target tab. If you click on those and do your shopping, we get a slight percentage of that. It doesn't cost you anything extra, and it helps support the show. And we appreciate when you do that. So,
and that's the only advertisement you have to worry about in our show.
Yeah, that's the only money we're getting. And by the way, I just had to re-up for hosting this year. So that was a little chunk of change.
Yeah, we're not doing like ads for stamp.com.
Nope.
We're not doing ads for like Ghost Bed.
Adam and Eve.
Yeah. We're not doing any of that.
We're not telling you how great a Casper mattress is.
Nope. We're not.
We should be advertised for Adam and Eve.
Kareem needs a dildo.
Or two.
Hey, whatever makes you happy. So, you know, we'll see what goes on, but there are changes coming. There are changes coming to this show. I can't talk about them yet. Soon.
Yeah.
Maybe next week.
Maybe.
Maybe not.
Who knows?
Who knows? The shadow knows. I will most likely have personal news, deeply personal news next week.
TMI?
No, it has nothing to do with anally taking methamphetamine.
Okay, good.
Ironically, I prefer to take my meth in the ear hole.
No, you do not.
Right in the ear.
You do not.
Yeah, it sits right on my eardrum and I can hear it mething away in there.
No, you do not use drugs. Mm-hmm.
And then it drips right down the eustachian tubes.
Oh my gosh.
I would be willing to bet there's no podcast in the world talking about taking meth through the eustachian tubes. Just saying. Good luck finding that somewhere else, fans of Walt Gray.
And if you have tried it, let me tell you.
I think the eustachian tubes, aren't they on the other side of your eardrum? So you need to have a hole in your eardrum for the meth.
I have no idea, man. I don't use meth that way anymore.
Oh, okay. Anymore. It's good times. It's good times. All right. So let's get into this. Bless you, Jason. He's got a little sneeze going over there. So last week, Steve Irwin, remember him, the crocodile hunter?
Yeah.
Australian fella. Well, Google decided to salute Steve Irwin, and they did, it would have been his 57th birthday. They did a Google Doodle, which was a special design in honor of the Australian conservationist, along with an emotional guest post from his wife, Terry Irwin, who's 54. The Google Doodle, it's hard to say, Google Doodle, sends a dangerous fawning message, said PETA. Wild animals are entitled to be left alone in their natural habitats. Steve Irwin's actions were not on target with a supposed message of protecting wildlife. It is harassment to drag exotic animals, including babies taken from their mothers, around from TV talk shows to conferences and force them to perform as Steve Irwin did. Yeah.
How'd that turn out for him?
Not great. The Aussies have very little room for that sort of nonsense. They came down hard on PETA, slamming them for, quote, disgusting rage marketing and dragging a beloved dead man's name through the mud to get more eyes and clicks. Ryan McGee wrote, "You know what you're doing. Rage marketing works." Another added, "You'll get more comments and attention than normal, but your propaganda has ceased to have the effect it used to have. And frankly, you've plummeted to disgusting depths."
Yeah, take that, PETA.
Australian basketballer Andrew Bogut said PETA should delete its account.
Oh, man.
Everybody's like, fuck PETA.
Yeah, who else said fuck PETA?
Paige from the WWE. And the movie Fighting With My Family, which we saw. Damn, at PETA, shame on you. He raised millions in animal charities, taught a lot of people about wildlife in a non-aggressive way, and also has a foundation where he did and his family continues to save injured, endangered, or threatened animals. Terrible tweet from you guys. So, yeah, I often am in the fuck PETA sphere.
Right.
Yes.
They are so, like, when I found out, like, how many animals they kill each year.
Yeah, PETA runs a lot of kill shelters.
Yeah. So, like, any idea about you have about treating animals, you know, in a ethical way goes out the door when you are regularly killing animals. Like, you can't, there's nothing you can say. Like, right?
There's a lot of things that went wrong with PETA. And I think PETA started as a well-intentioned organization.
As they often do.
And I think at a certain time in our history, their message was incredibly necessary. Their core message, which they've gotten away from, they've gone completely to the deep end of... 'cause animals are still animals.
Yeah.
Even some of them are parts of our family, and some of them are just wild animals out there, and they deserve their respect. They deserve their space. But that doesn't mean that we can't eat meat. That doesn't mean that we can't farm.
Yeah.
And the ideas that PETA puts forth on that, they just go so over the top with all of it that you take none of it seriously.
Well, and Steve Irwin's message, and like what I think is an important part, like, and I'm not saying that I support zoos in any sense, because I know that they can be difficult on animals, and they are difficult on animals. So, like, I get that, and I understand that.
Except for the fact that some zoos, the animals there, if they were on their own in the wild, would die.
Right. Which is the way that a lot of zoos are run nowadays. Like,
yeah.
You don't have people going out to Africa to catch lions for their zoos, not often anymore.
That's just for the Trump boys.
Yeah, that's just so they can go out and have a good time.
Sure.
Hang out, kill a couple animals. But Steve Irwin brought like a curiosity and sense of wonderment to children and to kids. You know what I mean? Like there's something honorable in that, and like that's what gets kids interested in being scientists and being, you know, I mean, like,
yeah.
It's an important thing. And like, you can't, like, to talk shit, like, you have to have, yeah, it's shitty. And like, I'm glad that people pissed off at everybody was pissed.
Australians don't put up with nonsense like that very often. Here's the funny thing about Australians. In general, they're more enlightened socially about things than the rednecks we have here.
They do have rednecks there, though.
Yeah, it's pretty much all of them. It's pretty much all of them. But their rednecks also call bullshit on this sort of thing, while still being able to go, yeah, they're, part of what you're saying might be right, but this is ridiculous. Ha. Anywho, let's move forward. I titled this next thing Goddamn Moron. And I'll let you guys be the judge. America's lead trade negotiator, Robert Lighthizer, had an awkward encounter with President Donald Trump in the Oval Office a week ago as he tried to calmly school him on legal terminology in front of reporters and a chuckling representative from China. Finally, he stopped trying and instead deftly switched the term for the same document when he realized he wasn't making any headway with the president. Now, Trump is sitting at the table, and he's got that weird thing where he does the little baby arm cross thing, where he barely crosses his wrists and holds his forearms. This is the exchange, and my wife played this for me as we were laying in bed, and my reaction was simply this. What?
I'm waiting for it. I can't
what?
Wait. I can't wait.
The next 2 minutes may hurt you. Remember, this man is running our country.
Would the MOU be a long-term deal? How long would your MOU stay?
I think the MOU is going to be very short-term. No.
Okay, MOU is a memorandum of understanding. Basically, an MOU, if you're not familiar with it, is a verbal, often verbal agreement, sometimes short written agreement, before you can get a full contract in place because you want to get going on something.
You want to set the terms.
Right. Here are the terms. Kareem, you're going to come and do this for me. I'm going to pay you this much, and I'm going to pay half up front and half when the job is completed. Cool. We'll get all the details worked out in the contract. You guys are going to get started tomorrow, right? Right. That's what a memorandum of understanding is, or an MOU in this case.
We expect to go into... I don't like MOUs because they don't mean anything. To me, they don't mean anything. I think you're better off just going into a document. I was never a fan of an MOU.
So an MOU is a contract. It's the way trade agreements are generally used. People refer to it like it's a term sheet. It's not a term sheet. It's an actual contract between the two parties.
Yeah. So that's Lighthizer trying to explain. Now, he's turned away from Trump toward the reporters to explain what a memorandum of understanding is, that it's an actual contract. And the clicking is, of course, the cameras.
A memorandum of understanding is a binding agreement between two people. And that's what we're talking about. It's detailed. It covers everything in great detail. It's just called a memorandum of understanding. It's a legal term. It's a contract.
And would you think that would be a very long-term deal, sir?
Yes, I think so. Yes.
Contracts last while they last. There's no term. They last while they last.
Okay. Pretty easy to understand, right?
Yep.
Contract has a beginning date and an end date.
They last while they last, but there's no necessarily a set term. And a memorandum of understanding is, in fact, a contract.
Yeah.
So then the reporters turn and ask the President of the United States.
President, on North Korea.
By the way, I disagree. I think that a memorandum of understanding is not a contract to the extent that we want. We're doing a memorandum of understanding that will be put into a final contract, I assume. But to me, the final contract is really the thing, Bob, and I think you mean that too, is really the thing that means something. A memorandum of understanding is exactly that. It's a memorandum of what our understanding is. But to me, the contract is... the real question is, Bob, so we do a memorandum of understanding, which, frankly, you could do or not do. I don't care if you do it or not. To me, it doesn't mean very much. But if you do a memorandum, how long will it take to put that into a final binding contract?
What?
Oh, my God!
Now on, we're not using the word memorandum of understanding anymore. We're going to use the term trade agreement, all right?
Okay.
Right. No more. We'll never use the term again. We'll have the same document. It's going to be called a trade agreement. We're never going to use MOU again.
Are they going...
Okay. So he's given up because the president has said that's not what it is, despite the fact that that isn't exactly what it is, legally speaking. So he says, okay, we're never using the term memorandum of understanding again. In front of the press and the president, we're going to call it a trade agreement. It's the same piece of paper. He says it's the same piece of paper. We're just going to call it something different.
Yes.
To put that into another agreement?
What we'll have will be a trade agreement that if we have major hurdles. I don't want to put the cart in front of the horse. Assuming you decide on an agreement, it'll be signed by the two people. It'll be a trade agreement between the United States and China.
I like that much better. I like that term much better.
Do you agree with that?
Okay.
Yes,
I wouldn't go into a memorandum. I would go right into a trade agreement. Either you're going to make a deal or you're not. To have these other agreements doesn't mean anything.
Say that word again.
Because they're not... that meaningful, in my opinion. But anyway, I like that much better.
It's the same fucking thing, you goddamn mullet-headed ignoramus. You're just calling it something different.
Mr. Darling?
Yeah.
What the president has just said has been one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in his rambling, incoherent response... was he even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought? Everyone listening to this podcast is now dumber for having listened to it.
I like that term better. great. It's the same thing. We're just going to call it something different. I don't like the term president. I like the term POTUS. Okay, great. They're the same thing. Nope, it's POTUS from now on. We don't want to deal with that president nonsense.
Oh my God, that guy probably got tore a new asshole when they got off. Like when everybody left the room, he's like, "Hey, Bob, I want you to stay back here for a second."
Honest to God, if I'm Bob, I'm just like, you know what? Fuck this noise. I'm out of here at the end of the week.
Yeah. Do you get your 2 weeks right then?
But he'll be gone by St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
Gone by St. Patrick's Day.
You can see the level of frustration just rising.
I would kill myself.
We'll never call it that again, you fucking moron.
I mean, we've all had bosses that we've been angry at because they clearly don't understand what we're talking about.
Yes.
Yeah.
But holy shit. This is the great deal maker, the real estate mogul who's been in business for decades.
You know why?
Contract after contract after contract.
Here's the thing. This is why.
If you defend him, I will.
No,
come
I'm
over
not going to. I'm not going to defend him. I'm going to tell you why he's saying what he's saying. All right. He's gone to court so many fucking times over contracting issues that he has to say that he does not know, that he does not believe that it's a real piece of the contract, because that allows him to pawn it off and not be responsible for the situation that he's created. But when you have like an MOU like that, you always generally starting any contract, you have to start like this. It's usually a 10% mobilization, like to get things started and flowing on the contract. Is that not usually how it works?
Yeah.
You get 10% for mobilization. And what happens is you get 10%, and then when we get to certain periods, I'm going to pay you. And then what he would do is he wouldn't fucking pay anybody after they mobilized and started the work. And that's what I said. So he was always caught in these mobilization, like, so he can't say on record that he believes in them or thinks that they're an actual contract, because the moment that he does, he's fucked himself. So he's just doing what he's always been told to do by his attorney, Michael Cohen.
Or no, it wasn't Michael Cohen. It was I can't remember that dumbass's name.
But
Roy Cohen. Yeah.
Yeah, his dad's guy, right?
Roy Cohen. Yeah.
So that's why he doesn't. That's how he fucks the contractors. I guarantee you that's how he's fucked every contractor that he's fucked. Primarily that way, because that's how you get fucked as a contractor.
But saying I don't believe something is something does not absolve you of responsibility.
When you got enough money to fight it in court.
Well, and that's how he's really fucked all of his contractors, is they sue him and he's got all of these lawyers on retainer and he's like, go ahead, and they run out of money.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because when you're a contractor and you pay mobilization, like when you get those progress payments, you don't get it. The way that these guys work too, the way the big contractors work, is they want you to show every single term of insurance. Like they'll like, you go turn in your project, like wrap sheet, like, okay, hey, I need my progress payment for the month. I had, you know, $50,000 in payroll, and I owe $75,000. Like I owe all this, like I need this money, so pay me. And you turn in all your stuff and they're like, oh, you know what? We need a new insurance contract. I just gave you one last month. No, but we need a new one that's current within the last 30 days.
Uh-huh.
And then they have to go and get their contract, like, and that just gives them another day to stall your payment. Meanwhile, they owe you, you know, $150,000 and they're stalling the payment and making interest on the money. And they do this to every single, like the big GCs, the big general contractors do this to every single one of their subcontractors. Is that not how they do it?
Yep.
Now I'm just angry.
It's shitty.
I'm angry at everybody now.
It's fucking be angry.
God damn it.
They fucked the guy. Unfortunately, and this is what white America will be seeing in the next 5 to 6 years, they don't care about you, especially the small business owner. They do not give a fuck, and you are voting against yourself.
Okay, first of all, let me just say this. If you actually cared about entrepreneurship and small business ownership, you would be absolutely 1,000% for universal health care provided by the government as part of your regular taxes. Because it is a huge impediment to business costs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Do you know how much, like, my wife gets, like, almost $2,500 a month for our medical, like, to pay for our medical. Like, that's how much it costs per month to have medical coverage for three people.
Sure.
That's fucking nuts.
Now. Let's say, instead of that money going to a health insurance company, that money, and let's say instead of making it $2,500, we make it $2,000. Because as a larger negotiating group, we can get our prices down further because we represent more people. So let's say it's $1,800 instead of $2,500 a month, and that money goes to the general fund for health insurance. Okay? Following me?
Uh-huh, following you.
And as an employer, I no longer have to contribute to that. I don't have to subsidize that insurance.
Along with all the other costs and fees that come into it.
Correct. Now, as I'm running my business, I have that much less of an impediment to doing business in my way. Isn't that what you should be doing if you really are on the side of small business and entrepreneurs? Remove that impediment. Because once you get to 15 employees, and it doesn't take that long to get to 15 employees, if you run a restaurant, if you run a clothing store, any kind of store, you can get to 15 employees really quick. And if you get to 15 employees, you are legally required to provide health insurance. And there's no way around it.
Well, if you have a trade union involved.
Well, sure.
But yeah, I mean, that's the thing, right?
It's a huge, huge cost. And if you're really about that, if you're really, really about that, why are you tying somebody down who may be staying in a job because they're 52 years old, have a pre-existing condition, and if they go out on their own to start the business they've always wanted to start, they're not going to be able to really afford their own health insurance because they're going to have to pay full fucking load premiums.
Well, and people don't the way that insurance works, when it's
terrible, close them all down.
If you have a single payer,
close them down. Kamala Harris, 2020.
If you have a single payer,
shut them down.
And you have a collective bargaining unit that's huge, like you do, and you get to negotiate your prices and whatnot.
Especially if it's the government.
The amount,
and one of you motherfuckers is muttering about an $800 toilet seat for NASA, I'm going to come through your computer and strangle you.
Yeah, fuck you. You're not even
because it's a completely different goddamn argument.
A completely different thing that we're talking about right here.
Son of a bitch. I know you were doing that, Chad.
the thing is that we have more power in the numbers when it comes down to it because it averages out. Then the people that are really sick don't have their issues, and the people that never get sick, unfortunately you do have to pay something, you know. But
because you know what? Later on, you're gonna be one of those fucking people who gets sick.
Yeah, you'll be in your 80s.
It's called aging, motherfucker. Yeah,
we all end up
those
having
people,
it.
I wanna keep my money now.
But it doesn't work like that. You're gonna pay for it somehow. You're gonna pay for it somehow. And just think, if we had that, you want to talk about how quickly our homeless fucking situation would fucking clear up if we had, a way to treat all these people that were, have the issues that they.
And mental health would have to be part of it.
Of course it would.
They have to actually be avail themselves to
it.
Right,
and they have to want it.
They don't want it. All right.
Anyhow.
Enough of us being angry, okay?
It's just insurance.
All right. So, fuck insurance. Anyway, so for those of you who think that I will never give Donald Trump credit for anything, first of all, fuck you, I will. And I'll do it right now. So there is a new thing. There's a new global campaign that the Trump administration is launching to end the criminalization of homosexuality in dozens of nations where it is still illegal to be gay. I heard that. I'm like, holy shit. That's something good.
Did they talk to the right before they did this?
Well, see, that's where we're coming into this. Some of the prison reforms that Trump has put in, I'm like, God damn, that's some decent shit. I will give credit where credit is due. And there are some things where credit is due. I will call them aberrations. I like that term better. You mentioned the right, the evangelicals. Well, let's check in with Rick Wiles and see who he is blaming for this whole thing.
Very upset with President Donald J. Trump, and
he's very upset. You can tell by the way he licks his very dry lips now. He's very upset.
Those of you who are Trump fanatics, you can get as mad as you want. I don't care. I am not a political flunky. I'm a preacher of the gospel. And I'm called by God to uphold righteousness and the word of God and the kingdom of God. This headline says, this is NBC News, Trump administration launches global effort to end criminalization of homosexuality.
Yes.
Now, what is the evangelical base going to do? He's got an evangelical board of advisors. I could call out the names right now. I know a lot of them. I could call your names out. You know who you are. What are you going to do about it? You got access to the White House. Are you going?
What are you going to do about it?
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 Yeah, what are you going to do about it? Extending human rights, wanting to extend human rights to people all over the globe.
Him licking his lips.
I'm going to speak out, Reverend, Pastor, Ministry Leader. You're on the White House Evangelical Advisory Board. Are you going to speak out? I dare you.
Why do we have a White House Evangelical Advisory Board?
Because that's his base.
Fuck off.
Hey, get the fuck out of here.
Exactly.
Wait, I thought there was supposed to be a separation.
No, that's his base. They're the ones who are pushing this criminalization of gay people all around the world.
Right, but they're launching this thing to decriminalize it.
That's what I said. Like, did he talk to them before he decided to do this?
Clearly not.
I challenge you. Will you speak out or will you be silent? What are you going to do? Because your silence is complicity. Are you afraid to tell President Trump the truth? Will you tell him that you will withhold political support if he goes down this route? Because I think the Christians should tell him. You go this way, absolutely, we're out. We're out of it. You're on your own.
Oh, please.
Robert Jeffers of Dallas.
Bob Jeffers, there's one. There's a lot of
there's a litany. It's a who's who.
Yeah, it's a who's who. There's like 40 of them.
They're not going to say anything because then you have to have a stance of what is right and what is wrong.
You know why?
That's not going to happen.
The real reason they won't say anything is because the real agenda is Israel.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Wow. And they're not going to jeopardize their standing with the White House to get things done for Israel.
Yeah, I can see that.
That's the real reason.
Yes.
So they will look the other way about sin and keep their mouth shut. But I'm not going to be quiet. I'm telling Mr. Trump, you're going in the wrong direction. God cannot bless your administration. He cannot bless your administration. You are promoting something that God says is an abomination.
Yes.
It's God's chosen people. Okay?
Didn't they just attack the...
And so they're pushing the agenda because they have control of Washington. They have control of the Trump administration. Donald Trump is owned by the Jews.
There you go.
Oh, wow.
Didn't that the new Muslim representative from, I think she's from Michigan?
Yeah.
Yeah, she said something along that and got like...
No, she didn't even say that.
Yeah, no, she didn't.
Yeah.
No.
So she said something about AIPAC and she became anti-Semitic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it had nothing to do... Yeah, it wasn't anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
Donald Trump is owned by the Jews, is what he said. And he went on to add...
That's the truth.
Wow.
Oh, man.
But it's not all bad for Donald Trump. Our old friend Jim Baker.
What's he had to say?
Oh, well, he says Trump has been spiritually saved many times since becoming president.
All children, born and unborn, are made in the holy image of God.
Do you realize what strength, and we call it guts, it takes to say what that man just said?
Mm-hmm.
Presidents don't talk that way anymore because they have to appease everybody.
Right.
But he wants to please God.
Yes.
Now, here's one thing I'm going to say about the president.
You know, he's not perfect. None of us.
Here's one thing I'm going to say. You guys are really letting me down in the verbal support of literally everything I say. And if you listen to Jim Baker, if his wife drops the ball on the yes, oh yes, there's some dude right there to jump in and support.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want you to do it now because now it's just pandering. But to pay
attention,
pay close attention.
That's a perfect. But he is being taught and mentored and prayed with more than probably any president in the history of the United States of America.
That's right. Jesus.
When he flies, he has pastors with him. When he's in the White House, he has pastors with him. I personally know people who have led him to Christ.
Yes.
He's been saved so many times.
I love it.
That, okay. I'll tell you what, if it counts, he's got more numbers than anybody I know of. And I'm serious.
Did it not
I'm serious.
The
I can name
the
people who prayed with him.
Yeah. And say, he honors how do you get saved? Like, you're only supposed to be saved, like, once, right? I mean, like, if you have to be saved more than once.
Then you didn't do something right.
Right?
Maybe he keeps falling off the wagon.
He doesn't stop. He won't stop. He has no
stop.
Fear.
Right.
And so, and he is one of them that led the president to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He's one of them.
Hallelujah.
But he's just one of them. But they were leading him and guiding him and preparing him, nurturing him through it all. He's and so
just one of them.
By the way, for a $20 donation, you can get Trump 2019 and Beyond, book by Jeremiah Johnson, with a bonus DVD.
Why 2019 and Beyond?
Because that's this year and beyond.
Okay.
And beyond. Here's why. They can charge you and they can ask for another $20 donation next year.
Oh, that's right.
That's the beyond.
That has the preface for 2020.
And beyond.
That's the game.
The bonus DVD. But who has a DVD player? Do you have a dedicated DVD player in your home at this point?
They do.
Yeah.
Well, I'm asking you guys.
No.
We're not like 25.
I mean, I have my Xbox, which.
No. A dedicated DVD player.
Nope.
We have one in the bedroom that we
don't need to know about
that we don't use. We hooked it up because we didn't have anything else. Before we bought the PlayStation 4, and then we had one.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, no.
No.
No, it's like we were cleaning out a drawer, and my wife found a CD-ROM, and she goes, are we going to need this? And I go, we don't have a computer with a CD drive.
Yeah.
Do you know what year it is? I can download that off the internet.
I still have some of my 3.5-inch floppies.
I bet you do. That's what she said.
Hey-o! That's what I do. I set them up so Nate can hit them out of the park.
Amen. You're so right. Hallelujah.
You like that?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I got more of them coming.
All right. Enough seriousness. Now for some frivolous crime. From Louisiana.
Story out of Sulphur, where police arrest a man accused of breaking into a home all while wearing a gorilla suit. KPLC's Ashley Joseph has more on the charges the suspect is now facing.
Who goes around in a gorilla suit? You know, I'm peeping in windows.
It was around midnight last Wednesday when Sulphur police say they received a call about a suspicious person in the area of East Lyon Street peeking into windows of nearby homes. When officers arrived at the scene, they yelled at the suspect, 34-year-old Jeremy Moran, to stop. Police say that's when Moran ran into one of the homes. Officers found him hiding under a mattress wearing a gorilla suit.
I don't know if he actually expressed why he was doing that.
Moran was transferred to the Calcasieu Correctional Center and faces charges of unauthorized entry, resisting a police officer, drug possession, and wearing a mask in a public place. Ryan Arnold, a detective with the Sulphur Police Department, says they've seen a rise in violent crimes within the last year, but this case is definitely uncommon.
Going on 5 years, I've been living here, and in the last year, it's really gotten worse. a lot worse.
Around this time of the year, there's always an increase in burglary activity or theft activity. People, you know, casing places or looking at houses or trying to find things to break into. It's definitely around this time of the year, towards the end of the year to the first beginning of the year, there's definitely a heightened activity in that aspect.
For now, one resident who's recently made changes to her home has one personal safety tip for those in the area.
Invest in security cameras and make sure you leave your lights on at night. Light up your yard for you can see if someone comes around.
At your service, Ashley Joseph, KPLC 7 News.
Like he got beat up by the gorilla.
It does. It really does. The question is, in a full gorilla suit, did you think they wouldn't find you under the mattress?
How the hell did you get under the mattress with a full gorilla suit?
Right? It's a lot more questions than answers in this news report. Small town Louisiana TV can't really dig in. Although I would guess if that happened here, we wouldn't have all the details like that we'd really look for.
No, we wouldn't.
Those are the details I want. And as soon as someone provides them, then they will have a viewer. That's what we're here for. That is what we're here for. All right. Now for some real frivolity. This guy has a cat that won't shut up in the morning. And so he auto-tuned his cat. Auto-tune the cat because he won't shut up in the mornings. I don't know how this helps, but I did it anyway.
Oh, man. Our cat does the same thing, too. Like,
well, there you go.
She'll wake us up at like 5:30 and start, meow, meow.
Okay. So, if you want to do that, he used the Voloco app, V-O-L-O-C-O, to record the cat. It's a free app with lots of simple actions to auto-tune. So, feel free. To go ahead and do that with your cat.
Or my daughter.
Oh, my God. You could put out... She could be the next baby superstar.
Yeah, I'm going to do it.
Baby superstar. All right, so this next story, it's a headline that you always expect but are always disappointed. That's right, a snowblower brawl ends up with one man in the hospital. I hate when that happens. It happens all the time. A man in eastern Washington says he's afraid for his life after a neighbor sent him to the hospital in an attack over snow removal. The fight erupted February 15th when Mark Robertson, 66, went up to a neighbor who was blowing snow onto his property in Spokane, just as the neighbor had previously done. This time, Robertson responded by putting a shovel in the path of his neighbor, Michael P. Jones' snowblower, which tipped the machine over. What happened next? Well, Robertson said I tried to stop him. That's when he grabbed me, threw me to the ground, and beat the hell out of me.
Told you the next time you blow snow, I'm gonna blow up your ass.
Well, no, the guy with the snowblower kicked his ass. Look, if I'm blowing snow and you're giving me trouble like that, I'm probably going to do the same thing. That's why I live where it doesn't snow. It's really to help other people.
Yeah, of course, of course.
Because if I'm just trying to get rid of snow, look, you know, things are going to happen. And if you put you tip my snowblower over, motherfucker, first of all, the salty language will start.
Yeah, the salty language will start.
And then the beatings will commence.
You'll be lucky if I don't snowblow you by the time we're done.
Hey, that's what she said.
Hey-yo!
Want that stubborn fat to finally go away?
Oh, I do.
Discover Cool Sculpting at Advanced Aesthetics.
Oh.
Cool Sculpting can freeze away up to 20% of your body fat in problem areas with no surgery.
Oh.
So Cool Sculpting is right for you. Call today for a free consultation.
What's the phone number?
I just want to live my life in peace. And this guy's a bully.
Amanda Norspokan is accused of punching his 66-year-old neighbor in the face, breaking bones, and sending him to the hospital. Sheriff's deputies say it started with an argument about where to blow extra snow in a neighborhood alley. The victim says he asked politely and his neighbor responded violently. In a Nightside exclusive, Kyle Simchuk spoke with the victim to learn how things unfolded. And Kyle, the attack left this man pretty traumatized.
I'm betting he didn't ask as politely as he thought.
No.
Just going to put that out there. Kyle?
Well, yeah, including his wife who saw the whole thing happen and called 911. Both are now terrified of the man next door who's now charged with felony assault.
I tried to stop him. That's when he grabbed me, threw me on the ground, and beat the hell out of me.
With two fractured ribs and a broken facial bone, 66-year-old Mark Robertson no longer feels safe on his own property.
My life has changed. I'm pretty miserable right now, and I fear for my life.
Robertson says his neighbor, 48-year-old Michael Jones, started clearing their alley behind North White House Street once snow started falling a week ago.
I told him I thought it was really nice of him to do our alley and keep it clear, but I'd appreciate it if he didn't throw it into my driveway and in my yard and on top of my shed.
Robertson says Jones didn't have the kindest words.
F off.
He says things only escalated. In this video, you can see Jones launching snow from the alley onto Robertson's property.
Every time it snowed, he just kept piling it in my yard, on my fence.
Robertson says things turned violent last Friday when he confronted Jones using a shovel to block his snowblower. Robertson says he pushed the machine over to defend himself, and that's when Jones allegedly attacked him.
Mr. Jones started punching him about the head and face, and at some point was actually using his weight to drop down on his knees on the gentleman's ribcage area.
Robertson was taken to the hospital in an ambulance. Jones was arrested.
Yeah, that's how you administer a beating, duh.
That bumped the charge up to a felony charge.
Jones is no longer listed on the county jail roster. We saw a car pull into his garage, and we knocked on his front door for a comment, but no one answered.
I couldn't believe that somebody could do something like this to his neighbor.
And Robertson is recovering, but he says he's still in a lot of pain and will be out of work for several weeks. He's planning to get a restraining order against his neighbor and may pursue other legal action. Aaron?
How about you stay mind your fucking business?
But if somebody's blowing a bunch of snow into your driveway and onto your yard and stuff like that, that's kind of shitty, right? And there has to be a way to prevent that with a snowblower.
Look, here's all I'm going to say. This is why you live where there's no snow.
Yeah.
Why even invite that shit into your life?
I don't.
Exactly. Exact. Snow. This is what snow. I blame snow.
It's all snow's fault.
It is. And not the rapper.
I don't
Informer.
Want it.
No, look. I'm going to. So he decided to bring the shovel. He's going to block him. He's going to do all this shit. Well, if you're going to do it, look, don't bring a gun to a knife fight.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, a knife to a gunfight.
My favorite was when he kept putting his knees into his chest. Yeah, he was delivering a beatdown.
Yeah. He's like, don't you ever fucking do that again, fucker.
But, I mean, the guy seemed to be moving pretty good for someone with broken ribs.
I appreciate him trying to do that, but.
I appreciate what you're trying to do, but could you not do that?
Could you not put your knee in my chest?
Ow, you're breaking my ribs. Ow. I would appreciate it if you would stop.
Say it with your chest.
You know what would have brought a little bit of frivolity to this whole situation other than Kareem and I? It's on our This Week in Googly Eyes news. An MIT engineer created a remote-controlled snowblower. He says he doesn't like being out in the cold, so he built it so there wouldn't be a fight. So there's that. It took 3 months to build. It can run itself by using a GPS system. There's no engine on it. It's all electrical. And he doesn't have any plans to pitch the snowblower commercial. But for fun, he put googly eyes on it.
Oh.
So the snowblower has got googly eyes right above the auger that pulls the snow in and throws it out.
Pretty awesome.
See? Now, no beat down.
Nope.
You could still blow snow into your neighbor's yard. And if he tips it over, then you chase him down with it from in the house.
Yep.
That's all I'm saying. Also in Googly Eyes news, scientists are using googly eyes to scare birds away from airplanes.
Huh?
That's right. In France, they're trying to stop birds from running into planes with optical illusions. Raptors, birds of prey, including eagles, falcons, and hawks, have incredible eyesight and can spot small creatures like mice or other prey from incredible distances. But according to a study from the research center in France and the University of Rennes, they may also fail to detect some substances, you know, glass windows or approaching objects like aircraft until it's too late. In the U.S. alone, it's estimated that bird strikes have caused 276 human deaths and destroyed 108 aircraft since 1988, according to the FAA. Knowing what they do about birds' eyesight, scientists have developed a sort of optical illusion to deter those raptors from areas where aircrafts take off and land. Essentially, a pair of what looks like googly eyes appears on the screen and slowly grows larger. When the birds see the visual stimulation, they believe another bird is coming at them and they'll move out of the way.
Caw-caw.
So, they've installed screens with googly eyes to test the data, and according to Gizmodo, the project worked extremely well. Scientists noticed dramatic drops in the population of birds within eyesight of the LED screens, and after 5 weeks, it appeared the birds never seemed to grow accustomed to the eyes. I totally want to do that on my TVs. See what happens to the dogs.
Hilarious.
Scientists are excited by the finding. It's not a conclusive study, though. They'll need to continue testing the screens at other airports with other types of birds before they consider it a success. Now, it's not the first attempt to save birds from oncoming planes or vice versa. Last year, it was thought that a combination of red and blue lights could help lead birds away from areas where aircraft were taking off and landing. But that's probably not an effective approach. So that is this week in Googly Eye News. I'm so glad I set the Googly Eye News alert on
Thank
Google.
You. You're Thanks, a hero. Google. You're a hero, Nate. You are a hero.
Oh, you're too kind. You are way, way.
It was really good news.
Way.
It's a good job, Nate.
Way too kind.
Florida.
I just want
Land
to
of enchantment.
Genius.
And crazy shit. This is Florida Corner.
All right. So we got a lot of Florida news. I carried some over from Wednesday because we didn't get to it. So let's hammer through this. Headline, ex-con back behind bars following arrest for battery by cookie.
Tell us.
Allegedly struck his girlfriend in the forehead with a hard piece of cookie. Wade Smith was arrested on a misdemeanor charge following the alleged battery in the residence of a Tampa suburb. According to the complaint, the victim told cops that Smith threw a hard piece of cookie and hit her in the forehead. Smith reportedly admitted to throwing the cookie at the victim without her consent. Police noted she had a red mark on her forehead but suffered no further injuries. He was locked up in the Pasco County Jail in advance of a court appearance.
She should have done it.
His lengthy rap sheet includes convictions for grand theft, trafficking stolen property, fraud, and weapons possession. He served 3 separate terms in state prison, totaling 5 years in custody.
Wow, Nate.
Cookie monster.
Kind of weapon was that?
it was a hard cookie.
Oh, gosh, Nate, that's hilarious.
Gonna toss a hard cookie at me.
Yes. That was great.
Meanwhile, a Florida cop has been disciplined for allowing a couple under arrest to smoke, kiss, cuddle, and engage in sexual activity while they were in the rear of a police cruiser.
Alrighty.
Back in July, Officer Doug McNeil of the Fort Pierce Police Department arrested Zachary Molendick.
Alright.
Molendick.
Is that Molendick?
No, Molendick.
Okay.
And Krista Lee for allegedly stealing jewelry and a baby toy from Walmart.
Oh.
Molendick was also charged with trespass since Walmart security had previously ordered him to stay away. McNeil initially handcuffed Lee behind her back, but later moved her cuffs from rear to front to allow her to smoke while standing outside the patrol car. Now, Molendick, who was using crutches, was not handcuffed at all. They were subsequently put in the back of the car, which drove to county jail. As recorded on the police cam, though, the suspect cuddled and kissed en route. At one point, Barry White's Can't Get Enough of Your Love, Babe played on the car radio. When the police vehicle arrived at the jail's Sallyport, McNeil allowed Lee and Molendick to smoke a cigarette inside the car. Molendick, whose hands were free, had a cigarette tucked behind his ear and a lighter in his pants pocket. After the smoke, the couple then engaged in sexual contact. Normally, isn't it the other way around?
Yeah.
An internal affairs report noted that due to their body posture and arm movements, it's apparent they're sexually pleasuring each other with their hands.
They get one out before they get in jail.
So there you go. Also, a Florida mayor was jailed. Mayor of a Gulf Coast, Florida city, lucky to be alive, albeit in jail, on Friday last week after he fired two shots at sheriff's deputies during a pre-dawn raid at his home. After Port Richey Mayor Dale Massad refused to open the front door, the SWAT team members forced it open and were met with gunfire. "He shot at our members. He's lucky he's not dead," the sheriff told reporters.
I'm trying to figure out how he's not dead.
He's white. Authorities said they had a strong suspicion that Massad, 68, was on drugs when he fired two rounds from a .40 caliber handgun. He surrendered along with other occupants just as deputies were about to launch tear gas.
Wow.
Yeah.
Somebody in the house came out and was like, "Motherfucker, what are you doing?"
"We did everything we could to make it a peaceful resolution," the sheriff said. "If someone's firing at us, we have every means and every right to fire back." He's being held without bond at the Pasco County Jail after a brief hearing where state prosecutors said he would face five counts of attempted homicide. And finally in Florida, naked and belligerent woman busted.
Naked and belligerent?
Mm-hmm. That's the worst kind of woman. So hopeful, yet so not. Cops arrested a naked and belligerent Florida woman for allegedly attacking her fiancé after he declined to have sex with her. Officers responding early in the morning to a disturbance call from a Vero Beach apartment encountered Samantha Jewel Hernandez, 21, without any clothes on and in an ornery mood. She denied doing anything to her fiancé, but was too intoxicated to provide further information. The victim, also 21, told police that Hernandez wanted to engage him in sexual intercourse, and he declined. Hernandez was angry at the fact that the victim did not want to have sex and began attacking him, striking him in the face, and ripping his shirt. Cops noted the man had scratches on his face and neck and was wearing a torn shirt. Hernandez was then arrested on misdemeanor domestic battery, charged based on her boyfriend's statement and injuries observed at the scene. Hernandez, who works as a cashier, and the victim have lived together for 2 years.
That sounds about right. Mm-hmm. That's about what happens when you turn down Sakuji. They get violent.
And when they're drunk. Oh, my God. Now, after being placed in the rear of the cruiser, Hernandez maliciously spit on the arm of the patrolman while yelling profanities. So as a result, she was also charged with battery on a police officer. That's a felony. A judge scheduled Hernandez's arraignment for April 12th and ordered her to have no contact with her fiancé. She's being held in lieu of $6,000 bond.
How you gonna turn down this good-ass coochie? What is wrong with you?
Too drunk is not okay. Just gonna say that. Too drunk is not okay. Alright, enough of that music. Let's get to this.
Lean back, relax, and enjoy. Sex toy news.
It's not as exciting as you think. A Brookhaven sex toy shop was again found in contempt of court after not paying a massive outstanding fine for violating city restrictions. The ruling was the latest development in a years-long battle between Stardust and the city of Brookhaven, which adopted stupid rules in 2013, making it unlawful to operate a sexually oriented business near a similar business.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Here's the problem. Stardust opened in 2013 across the street from a residential area and next to the Pink Pony Strip Club, which pays a fee to the city to stay open.
The Pink Pony?
Uh-huh. Since then, the store has been fined hundreds of times. In 2017, they fined Stardust $210,000 because it displayed at least 1,000 sexual devices for a week. This classified it as a sexually oriented business, though the store deemed it an egregious fine for a one-week violation. Related story, the sex shop ordinance upheld by an appeals court. That's your sex toy news.
Pink pony.
Yeah. Weird.
Don't ride that pink pony.
Wait, what? Is it a male strip club?
They're
riding the pink pony? It's all white guys.
Yeah, weird, right? It's a very strange thing. Anyway, that's...
White horse, man, white horse.
Yeah. All right. So that's near Atlanta, by the way, if you're curious about where it might be. All right. So I teased this on Facebook earlier this week. We are keeping an eye on the Germans because someone has to.
Someone has to.
This week it's us. Well, with the help of NPR. Headline, German town sees a Smurf invasion as thousands gather to break a world record. That's right. They came covered in blue paint, donning red and white hats, nearly 3,000 in all. Their goal was simple, to break a world record for the largest group of people dressed as Smurfs.
Wow, that's a lot of people.
Yep, the event organized in a city in Germany on the border with Switzerland. They had strict rules in order to be counted. Participants couldn't show any non-blue skin. They could dress as Papa Smurf with his trademark red cap and white beard, or Smurfette with blonde hair and a white skirted dress. Normal Smurfs were okay too, but some characters like the evil wizard Gargamel, strictly off limits.
I definitely would have come out to Gargamel.
I can see that.
You're the turd in the punch bowl of this whole thing, aren't you?
I'd be trying to scoop them up and keep them for myself.
Right? What about Azrael, the cat?
Oh, yeah.
The group... I know way too much about the Smurfs. The group posted on Facebook that 2,762 Smurfs showed up. The Record Institute for Germany verified that number on its website. They provided a certificate for participants. Guinness World Records, though, is yet to confirm the feat. The standing record held by a group of 2,510 people in the UK in 2019. It is the first attempt to break the record was in 2016. Now, the gathering isn't the only Smurf-themed record that Guinness keeps tabs on. With a total of 6,320 items, Gerda Schruers, not of Germany, though, of Ripon, Wisconsin, set the record for the largest collection of Smurf-themed memorabilia back in 2014. Jason, now you have the chance to break that record.
That's right.
Nah, I'm cool.
How far short are you of the 6,320 Smurf-related items? Sorry.
6,720, whatever that number was. That's exactly how far behind I am.
So that's what's going on in Germany. They're trying to break Smurf records.
Dope. Good.
I mean, I guess it beats, you know, invading the Sudetenland.
Yeah.
That's right. It's fucking historical references on the Nate Darling Show. God damn it, deal with it.
You are so smart, Nate.
I know a couple of things.
You are, like, intelligent.
Aw.
Yeah, you have some talent.
Praise the Lord.
God has given you a talent.
God is good.
God has called
Let's leave
your
the hustle and bustle for mate. Small town news.
Again, we go to Grand Forks, North Dakota, because, by the way, people of Plattsburgh, are you too cold? Are you too snowed in to speak out? Do you have nothing to complain about? I find that difficult to believe. As of February 25th, there had not been a speak out since February 1st.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Hope nobody died.
Maybe they all did.
Or it's all like Trump versus anti-Trump, and there's like, we can't publish this.
I don't think they've ever said that. The we can't publish this.
You never, like, there's a story. There's a story behind it. Nate, you know what? I bet you'll break that story.
Oh, that's, I'm going to put all of my efforts on that. All of them.
You should do that tomorrow.
Oh, I'll get right on that. It's a great fun for a Saturday. We go to Marilyn Haggerty and the Eat Beat, where she says lunch at the Ground Round with a young friends and old favorites. Now, I wonder if this is the same Ground Round chain that exists in upstate New York.
I don't know.
Jason, have you ever been to a Ground Round?
Can't say that I have, Nate.
Now, there's one in Plattsburgh.
Oh, well.
I bet people have written in to speak out about it.
You know you dropped one off before you came here.
Well, that was actually about 4 o'clock this afternoon.
Oh. Hey. The work, Duke.
I try to limit it to once or twice a week.
I thought you were going to say once or twice a day.
Oh, no.
She was on her way out, but when she saw me sitting in the waiting area, she did a quick stop. Then Virginia Panzer told me she recommends the bacon and sirloin flatbread. It is described on the menu as grilled sirloin with roasted mushrooms, crispy bacon, and caramelized onions. This is topped with Alfredo sauce and mozzarella cheese, then drizzled with chimichurri sauce. $13.99. That's what I came here for, she said as she was going out the door with her husband, Bruce. I order it every time. On the menu, there's a notification that this item delivers 1,700 calories. For those of us who keep track, the calorie count listed is listed for each item. My visit to the Ground Round was planned so I could meet up with a young friend, Cindy Eliason. She's in fourth grade at the school in Thompson, North Dakota. She wants to be a writer, and she likes breakfast.
She wants to be a writer, and she likes one of the three meals that she has in the day. She's bulimic, so she doesn't eat lunch or dinner.
So,
or she eats them, but then throws it up.
So, with Kristen Stromsott, Herald editor, we settled into a booth in the lower-level dining room of the Ground Round. On the other side of the restaurant, there's a sports bar ambiance. That sounds just like the Ground Round. It has to be the same chain. Has to be. So, where are this kid's parents? Just a random fourth grader rolling into the Ground Round to meet with two women?
Hey, Mom, Dad, I'm just going to have a couple of drinks with...
Right.
Peggy and Sue.
I mean, Maryland. Okay.
Maryland.
The restaurant, which has been in Grand Forks for 50 years, attracts a variety of customers. Some prefer the dining room with a balcony at the rear where groups hold meetings or play bridge. It's also the place for the UND Radio Coaches Show on Wednesdays. On the other side is the bar with television screens. There are windows all around. There's seating for 240 in the two areas. The staff members are well organized as they welcome guests. Everyone is greeted at the door and promptly seated. Cindy went for a dollop of whipped cream along with chocolate chips in her buttermilk pancake, or buttermilk pancake. With it, she had a salad that she said tasted fresh and good.
Wait. She had a salad?
The fourth grader ordered pancakes and chocolate chip pancakes and a salad.
That's...
Somebody ain't doing right. That took them goddamn pancakes away.
Get the fuck out of here. What's up with that?
Leave her with the salads.
Or, like, that's fine. Like, have the pancakes, like, but then have some bacon with, like, if you're going to have pancakes, you don't eat salad with pancakes. Like, that's just, like, two different meals. Like, you're either doing breakfast, or you're doing lunch, or you're doing dinner. And yeah. Salads for lunch or dinner. Like, that's not a breakfast or brunch item.
I'll just have a salad.
Get the fuck out of here with your salad.
Right? Fourth grader.
Yeah, this fourth grader. Marilyn should have fucking educated this little girl.
They're like, you know what, Cindy? Order whatever you want. And said, I'll have chocolate chip pancakes with whipped cream and a salad.
Yep.
Like, well, she's like, no.
She's like, oh, you gotta have vegetable. Okay, I have a salad. If I gotta have something.
She told me she likes breakfast. The restaurant seems to attract family groups with its wide range of choices and moderate prices. Except that one bitch orders the same thing every time.
Yeah.
If it was a fruit salad, that'd be acceptable.
Unclear.
But I mean, like, that's okay breakfast salad.
Sure.
I wanted to just, you know.
Well, that's an important detail. Thank you.
Fruit salad is okay in the morning. Well, I'm not a salad objectionist.
Okay.
You're a salad geek.
You're a salad shooter.
Pew, pew.
While the lounge area of the Ground Round is often lively and crowded, the dining room is more suited for quiet conversation. No shit? Hold on. The lounge area where the bar is loud?
No. Wait, what does... Like, yeah, that means that people are probably getting drunk and, like, hanging out, right? Because there's alcohol there?
Okay, here's my favorite part. The report card. It's not really a report card because report cards have grades.
Yeah.
This does not. Wide variety of food.
All right.
Excellent parking area all around.
Okay.
Moderate prices with an average tab of $15.
Okay.
Are there any of those grades?
Not only are they not grades, they're not really specific to, like, make me want to eat the food there.
But there's a variety of it.
Right, but what about the variety?
That means there's a lot, and it's all under $15.
Was it tasty? Was it good? Was it flavorful?
No idea.
Okay, all right, that's good. Let's move on. What's the next bit?
And finally, restroom facilities top rate.
Oh, well, there you go.
That's it. Got me at restroom rate, top rate.
Top rate restrooms. That's right. If you've got to take a big angry growler to make room for more food, the restroom is top rate. That's why little Cindy had the salad.
Oh, you know what? And Marilyn did mention about the cool little balloon machine that they had in the women's bathroom. They had mint flavored balloons.
Oh damn!
Marilyn was really excited about it.
It's true. Wow. I don't know what to say.
That was in the lower floor, near the lounge. Yeah. Like it was in the lounge.
Yeah. Balloon dispenser near the balloon knots. I guess it makes sense. Anus humor.
Oh, man. I'm just talking about mint-flavored balloons, bro.
I made a reference to invading the Sudetenland, and less than 5 minutes later, dropped a balloon knot reference.
That's dope.
You know what that is? That's variety only seen at a place like the Ground Round.
Ground Round.
Yep.
Where you won't see that many balloon knots.
You'd be surprised. I'm going to look it up because I need to know.
Is it the same one?
I maybe not. 50 years, the Ground Round. Friend locations. All right, let's see. I now need to know. Here's the sad thing. It's 50 years. America's favorite since 1969. I'm like, oh, God. Now I feel old. Let's see. Worthington, Minnesota. Oh, it is. Jason, it's the same one.
Oh, man. It's like a Bob Big... That's like finding a Bob Big Boy. Like,
it's the same one. They are in upstate New York. There's some in Maine. Pennsylvania, and then basically Wisconsin, Minnesota, North and South Dakota, and then there's a couple other locations, but...
Nice.
Yeah. It's the same one.
Well, there we go.
There's one in Vermont, too. Yay.
You know you miss it.
I'm going to go to the ground.
You know what?
I have to go there now.
If you live in Plattsburgh, New York, you could do worse. Because they have an Applebee's. And I remember when we were really excited that Applebee's opened. Yeah, that's what living in Plattsburgh, New York was like.
Chris told me the same thing. She said she was super excited when the Applebee's opened up in Watertown.
Right?
When Watertown had like an Applebee's, like, I remember we got, for our wedding, we got somebody gave us a gift card to Applebee's. And we went to go to Applebee's. And we were like, Chris was like, have I just become a food snob, or has the food always been this bad?
No, it's always been the bad.
I think that honestly, I think it's gotten worse because I think everybody has this change that happens when they get so big and they start having things that are in the fast food, like the frozen food section of the, like, they start they don't make anything fresh anymore. Everything comes like, but when they first start out, They're making some stuff fresh, and, you know, they have just recipes and sauces that maybe they import, but then eventually it's like they're getting the patties, you know, press sealed packages individually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, their website sucks. As I'm trying to, because it says menu and I click menu and oh, here we go, finally, God,
liver and onions has to be on there.
Oh, yeah. They have limited time specials.
Oh,
kids menu, desserts, takeaway. Their special club, it's the Rounders E Club. Named after what you look like if you eat at the Ground Round a lot.
Oh, yeah. Oops. Round.
You're a rounder. What are their limited time specials? I need to look. By the way, this is the end of the show, so if we're boring you, I'm sorry. We're in. Memphis Fries. They load French fries with pulled pork, add a drizzle of traditional barbecue sauce, and top with chopped pickles and diced onions.
Any cheese or anything on top of there?
No.
Oh.
Reuben egg rolls. A meatloaf sandwich.
Meatloaf sandwich.
But I won't do that. They also have meatloaf dinner.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm guessing meatloaf sandwich lunch, meatloaf dinner, dinner.
That's probably a good guess.
They also have cheesecake and berries.
Ooh, cheesecake and berries.
Right.
I'll take some of that.
Let's look at the dinner menu real quick. I know we've devolved into what we criticize, but I don't care.
Yeah, fuck it.
I don't care. Turn it off. We're done. Go ahead and shop Amazon.
And Target.
Nate, you are so smart and intelligent. Oh,
Jesus. Praise Jesus. Yeah, their website is super slow.
God has touched you and given you a gift.
Ooh, let's see. Let's start with some original chicken wings and some Tex-Mex street tacos. Because no place does Tex-Mex street tacos like an upper Midwest and Northeast chain.
Called the Ground Round.
Yes, sir.
Ground.
Mm-hmm. Here's ground a section ground. Entitled Fork Optional. It's sandwiches and burgers with a choice of one side. Ooh, the Texas Tangler flatbread pizza.
Ooh.
They also have a turkey pretzel.
Ew.
Well, no, it's shaved turkey, applewood bacon, Swiss cheese, with shredded lettuce, tomato, and honey mustard on a grilled pretzel roll. It's only 860 calories.
That's not bad.
That's way less than the buffalo chicken wrap.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you. The French dip, that 740 calories. Not bad. Not bad. You can also get the avocado ranch bison burger. Mm-hmm. And here are the sides, the classic sides. Small Caesar salad, a house salad, rice pilaf, house vegetables, broccoli, baked potato, mashed red skin potatoes, house-made chips with French onion dipping sauce, French fries, tater tots, or coleslaw.
Huh.
Tater tots.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind trying those homemade fries. I mean, homemade chips with French onion dip.
Dipping sauce. I love how they call it dipping sauce.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, it's the same ground round. People in snowy, hopeless places all enjoy the ground round. And with that said, everybody have yourself a great weekend. We will do the same. Enjoy March. February's over.
It's done.
Done. Hey. Done-zo as we move forward. And we will see you next time on the Nate Darling Show. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Peace out.
God is good.
You have a better breakfast for me.
Our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.